Welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner, broadcasting from Fool Global Headquarters here in Alexandria, Virginia. Hope you're enjoying your summer weekend. We're here each week to talk about the motley world of business and investing. On this week's show, we'll talk to one of my favorite guests, Seth Godin, the author of the new book, All Marketers Are Liars, The Power of Telling Authentic Stories in a Low-Trust World. It's a book chock full of great stories, stories that explain why some companies succeed and others do not. We'll also play our game, Know Your Brands, a game that will test your brand awareness, and as always, we'll take your phone calls. But first, a recent survey by the Annenberg Public Policy Center found that 87% of online shoppers object to price discrimination. That's the practice of charging different consumers different prices for the same product or service. The study also found that a majority of consumers didn't know that it's legal for a retailer to charge different consumers different prices for the same product or service. We wanted to get an economist's perspective on price discrimination, so we once again check in with Fool Radio economics contributor Charlie Whelan, the author of the book Naked Economics. He joins us from the NPR Bureau in Chicago, Illinois. Charlie, welcome back to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Good to be back with you.
Charlie, give us the naked economics, first off, of price discrimination. It's not a new concept.
No, if 87% of the folks are unhappy about it, they're going to be unhappy all the time everywhere, because this has been going on for as long as we've had retail. Price discrimination is basically trying to charge more for someone who's got a higher willingness to pay than you charge to somebody else who's willing to pay less. And so the premise is basic capitalism. You want to take, if you're the seller, you want to take as much money out of somebody's pocket as you possibly can. And I think some of these examples we miss, but they're right in front of us. So the airlines have done it historically by charging more for folks who don't have the Saturday night stay. Mm-hmm. And that's not because it's more expensive to fly a plane back on Friday. It's because they know that business travelers have a higher propensity to pay. People who are just flying to Irv's wedding are not willing to shell out $800 or $900. And the question is, you know, you're not going to, at the time you buy the ticket, ask somebody whether they're going to Irv's wedding or whether they're going to call an IBM. That probably would be illegal. Instead, they want to find a more clever way to get it. Who can pay more? Who are the deep-pocketed business travelers? And what they recognized early on was the social travelers, the vacation travelers, are the ones who stay over the weekend. The business travelers want to get back on Friday. So by just making that distinction in ticket pricing, you're able to have really two markets, one for the business travelers and one for the other folks. We see it elsewhere. We saw it actually in the 2000 presidential campaign when Al Gore complained. It turned out to be a falsehood, but the premise was right, that his dog had been charged less for some arthritis medicine than his mother was charged for the same medicine. And his rationale was, you know, it should be the same price whether you're buying it at the vet or whether you're buying it from your primary care physician. But of course, what the pharmaceutical company recognized is people are willing to pay more for a medicine that treats a person than they are for a dog. So if you look around, you will see it just about everywhere. And clever retailers are the ones that can find new ways to do it.
It strikes me that just the language itself I'm interested in, the word discrimination, a word with highly negative connotations, there are almost no examples of the use of that word in a positive context. It makes it sound like price discrimination is bad or wrong, but it sounds to me this is actually a technical term from economics, and it's neutral.
It's neutral, and I'll give you one positive word. You might say somebody's got discriminating taste. It's really just all about telling one thing from another. Mm. And so, yes, from an economist standpoint, it is neutral and indeed highly efficient, actually, because if you figure if there are two people, if you and I both want to buy a suit this week, and you're in a rush or you got a lot more money than I do or you like the suit more and are willing to pay twice as much as I am, well, there's no single price that's going to get it right. If they charge the high price to try and take as much money from you as they can, then I'm not going to buy a suit at all, even though the marginal cost of that suit might have been much lower and they could have made us both happy if they'd charged us different prices. If they charge the low price, which satisfies me, then they've left a lot of money on the table by not charging you more. So, you know, perhaps they have the, you know, suit of the week club that I can get in and get a discount and because I'm willing to clip the coupon, whereas you just walk in, buy it off the rack and pay the higher price. So it's an efficient way for the retailer to kind of get the price right for everybody who walks through the door.
Charlie, the survey found, as I mentioned, that most people didn't know this was going on. Now, Why do you think this is surprising to consumers? Presumably, a lot of the examples you just gave we're all familiar with, whether it's the preferred price shopping card or any one of a number of other examples.
Well, often because it's one step removed from the price itself. So people are familiar with the little shopping carts. They're familiar, for example, with the outlet stores, where if you drive to some distant place where there's absolutely nothing else, you can go to the Calvin Klein outlet and buy the same stuff that if you just walked into Nordstrom would be more expensive. They're basically separating those who have a lower cost of time and are willing to drive out there. So people don't, it's not as blatant as just having two prices in the same place, one for people who are willing to pay more. But I think it's part of a larger phenomenon, which is that we have kind of a schizophrenic outlook towards competition in general. If you ask people, do you like markets? Do you like competition? They're almost always going to say yes. But then if you ask them, you know, do you like Walmart? They're going to say, oh, no, they drive other businesses out of business. Well, that's kind of what competition does. If you ask them, do you like labor competition and hard work being rewarded? They'll say yes. If you ask them if they like outsourcing, they'll say no. Well, it's not fair that somebody else in a different country is willing to do that work for a lot less. Mm-hmm. So we have lots of examples where people in theory will say they like competition, they like what markets do, and then when presented with the kind of raw development, they say, well, I'm not quite so comfortable with that. And I think price discrimination kind of falls into that bucket. We're squeamish about the idea. It offends, I guess, our sense of equality that two different people might pay two different prices. And yet that's kind of a reality of retail and markets, and particularly now with the internet.
And sometimes it can take the form of government policy. I know I've heard in the past people suggest that, hey, what about the idea of charging car owners a premium to drive during rush hour?
Oh, this is an idea that economists love. And in fact, as somebody who's worked a lot on congestion issues, I would embrace it immediately. And it has a certain efficiency to it, again, which is that you've got a finite amount of traffic capacity. You've got your expressway going into the city, and between 7 and 9 a.m., it can only accommodate so many cars. So how do you allocate those spaces? Well, you raise the price of traveling between 7 and 9 a.m. And then between 10 and 12 a.m., when traffic is light enough that there's still space available on that road, you lower the toll. The idea being that you move some of those cars during peak travel hours to the off-peak, and you can actually get more throughput on your road. So economists love it because it takes the fixed amount of road capacity and makes it more efficient. You can accommodate more cars by spreading the burden out. But people do recoil because it certainly has equity issues. People who are less wealthy are therefore less able to pay the peak travel price. And they're also just offended by the notion of paying more at different hours. But it is, from an economic standpoint, a very efficient way to deal with traffic congestion. Mm.
In closing, is there any price discrimination going on with the sale of the Charlie Whelan book, Naked Economics, Undressing the Dismal Science?
Oh, of course there is. Hardcover and softcover books are classic price discrimination. So hardcover books are a nicer product, obviously, but the words are the same. And so you charge twice as much for the hardcover, and you sell it to the folks who are most enthusiastic about getting it, your first purchasers. And they're willing to pay more. And you give them, you distinguish the product by making it look slightly different, making it slightly nicer. But really, what you're doing is charging them a premium for buying the book immediately when it comes out. And obviously, you remember when Naked Economics came out, there were the riots in stores and people breaking windows to get the book and all that. So we wanted to charge as much as we could. You know, people were talking about the Star Wars phenomenon, the queues around the block and things like that. And then later on, when the riots had dissipated and the paperback came out, then we charged a lower price, and the people who didn't want to pony up the $24 might pay the $9 or $10 or $11.
Mm. Charlie Whelan is the author of Naked Economics. Charlie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.